The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Miku, Baltimore's credit union, and the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome this hour. Before we launch into the heart of our program, we want you to join us here, by the way, at 410-319-8888. I said we because it's Monday, which means my guest co-host here is Anthony McCarthy, as he is every Monday. We're going to talk about President Obama's speech to our students and why so many school systems did not play it or gave people the option to opt out, I should say. We'll cover that and more, but wherever you're going, picking up your kids, getting home, let's get you home safe and turn this over to WEAA Traffic. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. I made a faux pas earlier. This is not Monday. It's Tuesday. It's what happens when you have a holiday on a Monday. But we couldn't let Anthony McCarthy go, so he's co-hosting today on Tuesday. Anthony, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Great to be with you, Mark. Had a great time with you earlier today as we visited Collington Square.
It was a great, interesting visit this morning. Collington Square Elementary Middle School here in Baltimore City. That we visited and sat with students in the elementary and middle schools watching President Obama's speech, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, we're going to talk about what's going on around the state here. I want to get your thoughts about the controversy surrounding President Obama's speech to the students of this nation. In all my time of hearing presidents speaking to this nation, President Reagan, President Bush, and even before that, I've never heard a controversy like this ever brewing. And I don't remember people wanting to pull their students out of school for doing President Bush's speech to the students, for watching it, even if you didn't vote for President Bush. But we're going to talk, we want to hear your thoughts on that at 410-319-8888. And I have some thoughts, and so does Anthony McCarthy. I'm sure you do as well. People are already logged on to our Facebook, Mark Steiner, and you can log on there and become a friend of the show, and also throw your ideas out there as well, and we'll read them. But we're going to start our conversation today with Mr. Robert Plunkett, who is assistant superintendent of Harford County Schools, that chose not to play the speech. And we appreciate Mr. Plunkett taking his time to join us today. Mr. Plunkett, welcome. Good to have you with us.
My pleasure.
So tell me what happened in Harford County and why Harford County decided not to air the president's speech in real time to the students of that school system.
First, let me say that much of what you heard and read in the media has been a misunderstanding. First of all, we in the Harford County Public School System do not have the technological capacity to air the speech to all students in all classrooms at one time. And as a result, what we've chosen to do is to copy, to videotape the president's speech. We do support the speech. We think it is a wonderful opportunity for all of our students. And by Thursday, by the end of school on Thursday of this week, all of our students will have had the opportunity to hear the president's speech. And parents, of course, will have the option to, will be able to opt out if they so choose. Now, we also believe that every activity must be instructionally meaningful for our students. Therefore, we have prepared some pre-viewing, doing viewing, and post-viewing activities for the president's speech. So we do support him. We think it's a great idea, and our students will have the opportunity to view the speech.
Now,
and hear it.
Go ahead, Anthony McCarthy.
I was very curious, just before we get deeper into this conversation, the reason for the opt-out, if we acknowledge, and you acknowledge, that there is some educational value to the president's back-to-school address, and we watched the speech today. Of course, we had the privilege, or we were privy to the speech prior to the president giving it. Why is there an opt-out? It is the president of the United States, after all.
You're right. It is our command-in-chief. However, our parents, whether we're teaching the catch in the rye or any topic, any instructional topic, parents have the option to pull their children out, and then we will provide another meaningful assignment.
I guess what's a question I would have to follow up with what Anthony was saying is that, I mean, in yours wasn't the only school system to do this. I mean, Washington County did it. Frederick County did the same thing. Baltimore County had an opt out. Howard County, we'll talk about their decision, it's very similar. But what I don't understand is why that was even an option. I mean, there are county schools in Harford and where else in Maryland, give parents and students an opt out when President Bush or President Reagan spoke to the students? I don't think so.
Any parent has a right to send in a letter to say, I would prefer that my child not participate in such an activity because, for the following reason. We're not sending home forms to give parents the ability to opt out of viewing and hearing the president's speech. So any parent who sends in a letter, then we will honor that request.
And one of the things that was said by Harford County Schools earlier on was that that they had to review anything that was being given or broadcast to the students on video before they would allow it to be shown or heard in that public school system. But I just found that, and with all due respect, Mr. Plunkett, I found that, I mean, just almost, I didn't know how to take it. It was almost ludicrous to think that we would say that we're not going to allow the President of the United States of America to address the students of our school, and we have to see what he's going to say first.
Well, that certainly was not our intent, but we do have guidelines that we must follow for all videos and broadcasts. And the purpose and following those guidelines is to ensure that we have meaningful instructional activities for the students once the video has been aired. You know, our president has some powerful statements, setting goals and following and making strong commitments. We have a commitment as educators to follow through on some of the things that he said. And therefore, we want to consistently give our teachers the guidelines to follow, to adhere to, so we can work with the president and align our instruction to what he has said.
But when Anthony and I, McCarthy and I this morning were in a Baltimore City public school this morning at Collington Elementary Middle School on the east side of town. And we watched a class, a contained class of special education students. We sat with a third grade class. We sat with a fifth grade class. It was a fifth, right?
Fifth grade and an eighth grade class.
Mm-hmm. And all those teachers, none of those teachers had kind of preparation materials. They led discussions with their students about what the importance of the speech or not to these students had been and what the students thought of it and what it said to them, and led a group discussion. And it seems to me, whether I'm talking to the Harford County School System or Howard County or Baltimore County School System, that and that's why I'm not just picking on Howard, your school system, Mr. Plunkett, but I mean that they all, I mean, were just making excuses that seem to placate people who have a hard time dealing with Barack Obama as President of the United States of America, and that we're kind of bending over backwards to allow, I think, sometimes blatant kind of racist attitudes to take over.
Well, that is certainly not our view. We simply wanted to make sure that we had the materials. Now, keep in mind that the U.S. Department of Education informed us in the middle of last week. Well, actually, we found out through the news media. We never received a formal, and I'm not making any apologies or any excuses, but we never received a formal notification this was occurring. So on Friday, I believe we received information that there were revised lesson plans or guidelines posted on the website. But we did find out, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday, that what was posted would not be used. And therefore, the timing for us was not as we had hoped it would be. If we had had all the information that we have now, if we had had it last week, then certainly. But then we don't have the technological capability to run it. We would have, possibly looked at doing something else. I'm not so sure what that could have been.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Plunkett, I want to ask you, this is Anthony McCarthy again, two very quick questions to get your thoughts. I understand that one of the changes to the lesson plans, not the lesson plans, but the guides that came from the White House, was the president requesting that students across America write letters to him and with suggestions on things that they could do to help improve America, or things that they believed he could do. And there were obviously a significant number of parents who objected to the president making that request. And the White House said they removed that from the guide, the teaching guide, because they didn't, I'm not sure. I'm trying to be very objective on this, but I'm not sure why it was removed or what the objections were. But it was one of the things the White House talked about removing because of objection.
I can't speak for the White House, but clearly someone thought that question was political in nature, and therefore it was removed. As an educator, we want to keep our schools apolitical. We do not want to get our students involved in the middle of politics of nature. So, and I'm sure that someone at the White House, I don't want to speak for them, said, well, if it's considered, if it's viewed this way, then there are other activities that we can do that will help our students.
What if you received a call and the president wanted to visit your school?
We would pull out the red carpet. We would have
What if there were parents who objected to the appearance of this sitting president at your school? Would you second
activity? They would have the right to
pull the
yes, and we would find another meaningful activity. But we would. I don't want to speak for the entire leadership in Harford County, but as far as I'm concerned, we would be glad to have our commander-in-chief.
Well, Mr. Plunkett, I do appreciate
it. And we would welcome you, too.
Well, I hope so. I mean,
I appreciate that.
As a matter of fact, the principal of the school we met with today's child is in your school
system. Is in your school system, that's right.
I spent a lot of time in Harford County and visited your schools before, and I would welcome the opportunity to do it again.
Great, great. Well, stay in touch, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Okay, bye.
Robert Plunkett is Assistant Superintendent of Harford County Schools, but it wasn't the only schools that did this. Carroll County Public Schools said that they would only allow students in school to watch President Obama's speech if they had a note from their parents. I mean, listen, let me just read you.
Mark, I guess it's stunning. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Anthony.
I guess it's stunning. And I guess I'm of a different generation. Even if it was not a president that my parents had voted for or even approved of, but the president of the United States was making a back-to-school address, and they had asked that our school system play.
As Mr. Bush and Mr. Reagan did.
As both President Bush and President Reagan did. I can tell you, my parents are conservative, but they tend to support Democrats. My parents would have welcomed the opportunity for me to hear, yet another opportunity for me to hear from the president of the United States. And I think people should be embarrassed by all the rhetoric about abortion and socialism and gays in the military that they attached to a speech, a 15-minute speech the president was going to make to school children. And none of that was included in the speech, nor would it have been. I can't imagine that it would have been. Those social issues would have been brought to the table in a back-to-school address by the president. But it worked. There are school systems all over the country that not only gave people the option of opting their children out, they refused
everywhere
to play
the country.
It. Yeah.
I mean, I have a daughter in a school system in Connecticut. She lives there with her mother. And she was all excited about the president's speech. She was even thinking about calling on the show to talk about what she thought. She had to call me from her school bus to say they didn't play it in their school system in Wilton, Connecticut. They didn't play it. They didn't play it in King of Prussia, the suburbs of Philadelphia. They didn't play it. They didn't play it in most of the schools in the state of Virginia, did not play the president's address. And this guy, Tony Pizarro, of the Bel Air Tea Party Coalition, that led the fight to ban the speech from Harford County schools, said, this is a test by the administration and the National Education Association and all those who want to see America fundamentally changed. If we don't stand our ground and let him know we absolutely will not allow this, how do we know that the next time Obama decides to invade the school system, he won't be asking our children to spy on us, their parents? We don't. He has already asked fellow Americans to spy on each other, and there's nothing beneath him and his thugs. Which was backed up by a delegate in Pagliari, Republican delegate from Harford County, Harford-Baltimore County, who was enraged and sent a letter about Harford County allowing President Obama's speech to be on there, or Baltimore County. Now, I'd like to know what you all think about that out there. I was telling Anthony before we went on the air, Christina Arison found this for us. I asked her to find this on the web for us, and that I said, well, what about President Reagan's speech back in 1986? His speech that went on to students in America was blatantly political. Blatantly political. The good news in defense is that our armed forces, which are suffering from neglect and low funding, have now made a comeback. Morale is up. He talked about 14 different tax brackets that have to change in America. He talked about the conservative agenda of the way they want to defend freedom. And his entire speech was a speech about his political viewpoints for America. President Obama didn't go near that.
Didn't go near health care, didn't go near Afghanistan, didn't go near any of these really hot-button issues that are part of the American dialogue right now.
I think in some ways that this country, because of places like Fox News and other places, are allowing the conversation in America to be hijacked by racism and racists and people who cannot stand. A lot of people can disagree with President Obama, and that's fine.
Of course. Oh, my goodness.
You
yes.
know?
You and I disagree with him on the air sometimes.
But this is a reaction of fear about where America's going. And they ran Van Jones out of the White House, Glenn Beck and
Sean Hannity and others.
And I would say President Obama allowed that to happen, which was, I think, a travesty. But we'll talk about that in a bit, too. What are your thoughts? 410-319-8888. I was just here with Anthony McCarthy. Your thoughts on what's going on and what this really is emblematic of in our nation, that we have such a problem with the President of the United States speaking to our schools. And 410-319-8888. I mean, I bluster on and let you all speak to us. Anne, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I got a little upset when the gentleman asked what I was calling about, but I just had to spill it out. It's just hatefulness. It's the pure hatefulness that's in their hearts, and I'm feeling that it's spilling over into me. And that's the thing about hatefulness. It spreads like oil and water. It's a plague because it starts at one end, and before you know, it'll have no problem. I watched those folks on television yesterday. These adults, supposedly parents of children that they're raising also to take the helm of leading this country, they're teaching their children firsthand. If we don't like it, we don't participate, and this is how we do it. You don't go to school, Johnny, Janie, or whatever the little kid's name is. You know what I'm saying? That's how that whole thing starts. That's how racism, that's how hatefulness spread. It comes out your home as you sit. Oh, they use that real good, the kitchen table dialogue. That's where that happened at, and that's what you're seeing that's spilling out there today. And it's a shame. It's a disgrace. Oh, it was good, and voting for me was a nice novelty, as they say, you know, like a nice little key ring that you get. But let him go and do what he was elected to do. They're just throwing, I mean, I never seen as much tripping up and trying to just hoping and praying that he fails. And that's what I don't like about it.
And thank you so much. I'm glad you got through and joined us with your thoughts for this hour. And by the way, the only reason people ask you what you're going to say is they like to let us know who's saying what, so we can mix up the conversation with callers and their different ideas. And we don't censor or not allow people on but what they're going to say unless they're kind of absolutely crazy. 410-319, which doesn't happen very often.
Which doesn't happen.
410-319-8888. Mark Steiner here with Anthony McCarthy. And Christine, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi,
Mark and Anthony. How
Hi,
are
Christine.
You? I was really, just really offended listening to the Harford County principal or whatever.
Assistant
and just
superintendent.
Sort of reading the superintendent. I'm sorry, I wasn't quite sure who he was, but just the whole notion that our president of the United States had to be quote unquote censored, because that seems to me what this boils down to is the president. This is supposed to be a position that we are all supposed to revere and respect. Why would anybody think, what would any American think that anything this man would say wouldn't be in the best interest of our country? That's my first point. My second point was the explanation that the information, it seems like the superintendent was trying to imply that the school system needed time to prepare a meaningful lesson. There was access to his speech days prior to, you know, to it being addressed. It was outlined in detail, word for word, verbatim, beginning to end. So even if the teachers were not able to provide a 100% complete lesson plan, it could have been a wonderful opportunity for a dialogue from grades K through 12. I mean, it could have been something for the kindergartners to say, well, the president is speaking. Well, what do you think about that? And then it could have progressed where the older students could have been taught or discussed more critical issues about what he's actually saying in terms of personal responsibility for their own education. I mean, I just think there were so many good things that could have been taken out of it, but people want to use words like socialist and fear and hate and hateful language that it's disgusting. And it, to me, it borders on treason. And I'm sick. Personally, I'm getting sick and tired of people just freely making these random comments about our president and not being checked for it. And this underlying tone of racism, like you were saying, Mark, is horrible. And it needs to stop.
Christine, I appreciate the call. I mean, one thing I would say, I think that one of the things that I would defend until my last dying breath here in our country is the right for anybody to say anything they want about anybody at any time, because I think our free speech is like a bedrock of who we are. These crazy people can say what they want, but the issue is that I think that they are seen to be managing the agenda of this country. And that's what's really very, very scary to me. I mean, we had somebody who wrote on our Facebook page, which you're more than welcome to come do, Sean Gallagher wrote in, saying the right is using Saul Alinsky's playbook to prevent progress rather than drive it. Mm. 1,000 Karl Roves out there now, he wrote in just on our Facebook page. And I think that they have taken the Saul Alinsky, who was organizing for the poor and organizing for progressive agenda in America for years, which is what organizations like Build came out of in America, here in Baltimore, and they are using that playbook.
And Mark, there appears to be, and I, you know, I to bring it to a level like the ground level of this conversation. When we were at Collington Square today, you and I did not engage the students.
No, we just listened.
We just listened.
Right.
And the teacher and the teachers and the principal just asked questions about the speech or what did you hear or what. And I was absolutely amazed at the absolute brilliance of these students. And I'm not saying one thing or the other about Barack Obama or the speech, but I will tell you that as Mark and I stood in those classrooms and listened to these young people, they talked about the president's life. They talked about overcoming obstacles and being poor and his mother not being able to meet the bills. And they talked about the fact that he made bad decisions. And one eighth grader, and of course, eighth graders a little bit more mature than third or fourth graders, said, you know, it made me think that when I make a mistake or I make a bad decision, it doesn't just impact me, it impacts our country. And I remember thinking as we were leaving that classroom, how could anyone, unless they were given misinformation, have objected to the president, whether it was Barack Obama or Judge George W. Bush, objected to the president speaking to the hopes and aspirations of these children and saying we have expectations.
And if you disagree with the president, make it a discussion in class.
That's right. Make it a discussion. Talk
class.
About
you
it.
Know, I mean, it was the little girl who said, really touched me, and I'm going to go right back to the phone to you. The little girl who said, I think she was the third or fifth grader, I forget, the third grade, a young one, said when he talked about the boy who had brain cancer.
That's right.
And still got his homework done. That made that little girl think about it. I can do anything.
I can do it.
You know, that was what the speech was about. 410-319-8888. Your thoughts on all of this, and let's go to George. You're on the air.
Hello. I think it's just, look, it's historical in this country, and I think it's just racism. I think that America has been taken from America was developed on that basis, and not, so it acts it out on stage, and that's what you see an act out on stage. No one wants a person of that color to be in a position like that, and that's just unconscious. That's unconscious thought on the people who disagree with on their part, and it's going to continue to be that way. I don't see no change in it at all.
Anthony and I were talking about this earlier, and I always say, and I'm not if you agree 100% Anthony about this, but if anybody else does, but I don't think it's just race and racism. I think it's ideology. I think it's ideological. I think America has been a battleground over ideology forever, over what America stands for. And now there are Americans who stand for a different kind of America than we were founded on some levels when it comes to race and what the private property means and the right to health care and things like that. And that's where the battleground is being drawn and exacerbated by the racism in America when you have a black man as president of the United States of America. I mean, all that's in there, so wrapped up in all of this.
I watched Mandy Manikin, who's a conservative blogger, on the Sean Hannity show over the weekend, Mark. And you would have thought, and this is why, you know, and I respect everyone's opinion. Matter of fact, when you disagree with me, I tend to learn more than when someone agrees with me. I tend to open my mind and learn more, even if I disagree with you. But you would have thought that the president was bringing the epicenter of this cultural war into the classrooms today by listening to these folks talk about what he was going to do. And they even said, even if it's an innocuous speech, he is aligned with the leftist teachers unions, and they will have our children believing and reciting the leftist political agenda. And as I listened, I thought to myself, now everyone's entitled to their opinion, but why, how in the world do you make a leap from the speech that was printed on the White House website that was released to all the school system to some sort of agenda of, but it was, I mean, hours and hours and hours of this kind of conversation on our airwaves, and it really shocks me.
It blows my mind. Let me go to the phones again. 410-319-8888. Nikki and Severn, you're on the air.
Well, good evening.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Good evening, Mark. It's just so good to be able to discuss this with saneness, because it is just so insane. And what has made me even more livid, my children are enrolled in Anne Arundel Public Schools, Anne Arundel County Public Schools, and I was told by my two middle school boys that they did not hear the speech today. Mm. And I was not aware that Anne Arundel County was editing that speech or in some way preempting that speech today. So I have to contact the school officials to find out why my children didn't get to hear the speech. And I am absolutely livid that someone made that decision for us. I had no idea. I wasn't given an email or anything to state why they wouldn't hear that speech. So anyway, that's one thing. And it could be a good reason for it right now, and I don't know. I just assumed that they would hear it. But this talk of not allowing the president of the United States to express the country's what's good for the country to our school children, to me it borders on treason.
He didn't even do that in his speech. What President Barack Obama said to these students is that you don't know what you can be until you try something. You don't know if you could be the person who can create the next iPod or some other medical breakthrough unless you do a science project. You're not going to know if you can write the next great novel or be the next great reporter unless you do that English department essay. That's what he was saying to our students. He wasn't saying anything about politics at all. I mean, President Bush, President Reagan gave very political speeches to our students. Barack Obama did not. That's what is so incredulous about this. And you're right. It was up on the web. People could see what he said the day before. What are your thoughts? 410-319-8888 is the number here. We have a lot of callers. We're going to come back to your calls. Read some things that came up on Facebook. Go there and let your thoughts be known there. Urbanite Radio Stories on the Mark Steiner Show are made possible by Marin Alsop and the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, presenting its 2009-2010 season featuring Kathleen Battle, Andre Watts, Yitzhak Perlman, and more. Tickets to the Meyerhoff available at 410-783-8000 or bsomusic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and it is the first day of our live programming during the week, which means Anthony McCarthy is in the house. He, of course, is host of the Anthony McCarthy Show right here every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM. We're talking about the controversy of Barack Obama's speech. The number here is 410-319-8888. We're going to come back to your calls. I want to read, Anthony, there's one thing from listeners who went to Facebook. Let me just read you a couple of comments, and I'd like to see what our listeners think about these two comments. I think these two kind of hit the nail on the head in many ways. Carl Hyman wrote in, this country is experiencing a cyber civil war between a small group of conservatives and the rest of us. The group is aggressive, uncivil, vocal, and divisive. They know how to use the media. It's disgusting. They're trying to establish an agenda that does not exist. I would not give them the time of day. Jill Harrison writes in, Carl, I agree with the cyber civil war that is aggressive, uncivil, vocal, and divisive, but having a dialogue is the most important thing we can do right now. People on all sides are truly afraid. We need to listen to each other and build some of the trust that all of our fears will be addressed. Change is not easy, but it won't happen without some real work by all of us. We need to build some bridges over these deep divides, and listening to and understanding each other is the way to begin.
And I think that, Mark, is as you started the program today with putting out to people that this, as much as this is about the president's address to students who are coming back to school, that it does speak to something larger. It speaks to some fear and anger and ideology that seems to be dividing us as a nation. And it's so sharpened, so much more than during the previous administrations. And Americans are choosing sides. And as the young lady who sent in the Facebook remark, there is a benefit into listening to the other side. And I think that you advocate that. I certainly advocate that. There is a real benefit as a nation for us to hear each other. But Mark, I think my frustration on this particular issue around the back to school address is that the arguments against it are so transparent and hateful and ideological that it's hard to be objective about something like the leader of your government, the president of the United States, addressing the citizens. I mean, I wonder, we don't have the same breakdown when he gives his State of the Union address. We don't have the same breakdown on when he is planning to address the nation on Wednesday. And some people would argue, well, it's because we can make the choice. And we weren't giving a lot of the school's children a choice. But, you know, he's the president of the United States. And there's a deference to the office and the person.
It was a coach's pep talk about your life.
Yeah. Exactly what it was.
And it was about his own growing up and about people overcoming adversity and not allowing adversity to stop you from achieving what you need to achieve. And I think the divide that Jane writes about on Facebook is real. And some days I think I'm not sure you can overcome it. Only because I say this because I think that it's been in before president, as Bob Summerby pointed out in the show in a debate a few weeks ago when he was on the air here with us, that this happened to Clinton. It happened to Kerry when he ran for president. That there's a divide in what America means to people, and that even though it's not solely regionally based, a lot of the West and the South and other parts of our country who have a mentality that came out of the conservative right wing rural world that see America and sort of these kind of a vision of it's all about small business and no government involvement, that where America, as they pointed out, the true Americans, which are white Americans, and that's a big part of the divide that's going on now. And I think that that's a difficult one to overcome. There's some serious battle lines, and I think that we fought a civil war over this once. 410-319-8888. Theo, you're on the air.
I think that one of the problems was in the beginning, it wasn't clear what the president was going to say. I think that the speech was wonderful, and all the children should have heard it. There's no doubt about that. I think they're a little bit too much picking on the president because he certainly doesn't seem like an ideologue. For example, Van Johns, as soon as there was a complaint raised, Van Jones was gone. Van Jones, I beg your pardon. And in addition to that, there's all kinds of, I mean, I'm a tough that we should get out of Afghanistan, but he uses words like, or his people use words like, there are many people that Afghanistan to pull triggers, you know, not to bake bread and stuff like that. So I don't see where the right wing has any complaint with this president. But I do think that in the beginning it was mishandled by the White House because they claimed that the children were going to write essays about how they could help this president. And that a lot of people, it seems to me, didn't like that part of it.
Mm-hmm. Anthony, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that they're right. I think there were a lot of objections, and we heard some of them seemed reasonable in that some parents were, Mark, as we were looking on YouTube and I was tracking some of the television interviews, some parents were very uncomfortable with a call for their children to interact with this president, and they thought that it was on a political level. Now, once the White House released the speech, once there was very clear in the lessons plans, Mark, that the president was not, they changed the lesson plans. So there would be no essays or letters to the president. But then, Mark, we found the speech by President George H.W. Bush online where he visited Alice Deal Junior High School in Washington, D.C. It was recorded by C-SPAN and broadcast across the country to all public schools. And he asked, he said, let me ask you something. Let me ask you to do something. President George Herbert Walker Bush asked American children, write me a letter at the White House. Send me a letter at the White House and tell me how your ideas on how we can make this a better country. And I think when conservatives,
what's wrong with that?
What's wrong with that? But but Mark, that is the line that's being drawn in the sand where people really are offended by that idea. Were they offended when President Bush asked our students to do that? I'm not sure. But it really begs the question, all right, if we get over the hurdle of the letters to the president or the essays written to the president, then what's the next objection? And Mark, I think it makes people uncomfortable when we start bordering the conversation around issues of race and ideology. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It makes people uncomfortable. But I think even in that discomfort, there is an opportunity for us to understand each other. I was watching one of the networks, Mark, before I came over, and a woman in Mississippi, a white woman in Mississippi, was angry. She said that, you know, she was told that it was going to be a very different speech. She pulled her children out of the school, even though her school system wasn't even going to play the president's speech. She pulled her children out of the school. She was so angry, and then she watched the speech at home, and she said, wait a minute, this is the speech my children should have seen. So there's this, there's a lot happening.
Let me go open the phone again and read. Jason Tamal wrote on our Facebook page, and go to the Mark Steiner Facebook. If you're a friend already, just join the conversation on Facebook. It wrote in, Mark, it is, to use the old phrase, quote, the sheet coming off him, end quote.
Wow.
No different than those otherwise apolitical folks who never had an opinion worth trying to articulate prior to showing up at town hall meetings almost in tears, shaking in anger in opposition to the president's health care reform initiative. These folks care about the substance of the student empowerment speech, nor are they that passionately opposed to people in need of receiving medical attention. They have a deep and visceral hatred for our president based on realities not connected to politics. It's that simple. They haven't gotten over it. 410-319-8888, your thoughts about all that. And June, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, June. Welcome.
And the guy you were just talking about on Facebook, he's absolutely right. It's all about race. It is, whether you want to be uncomfortable or not. I mean, face it, racism is alive and well in our society. And there was a news political analyst on one of the stations last night, I believe it was channel 11 or 13, and this guy put it right on the head, and he was a Caucasian older white man, and he said, really, the whole thing is about race, because white people are scared that they're going to be giving up the power that they've always held, and because Barack is considered a total black man, even though he is a true the first true African-American. I'm a history teacher, so I might ramble a bit. And I teach at Carver High School in
the
city.
With my son-in-law.
Yeah.
Right.
And we watched it in an auditorium. And my students gave him a standing ovation. So, but it's just ridiculous how these ultra-conservative, fundamentalist, racist jerks are trying to beat him down because they're so angry that we have a black president who is so qualified, such the opposite of the jerk we had before. And but what really galled me, I saw on the internet where this pastor in Arizona, I believe, said that he prays for the deaf. Did you see this on the internet?
I did. I posted it on my Facebook.
Yeah, he prays for the deaf of Obama, and he can cite the Bible or something. These people are crazy.
Well, you know, and I think June, in many ways, you're right about many things. But I add this layer, and I think it'd be interesting to have another show about this. But we had with Bob Zimmer being some others on the air with us. I think Diedrich Muhammad was on that show that day. I think that was one of the days that Diedrich was on. Is that it is about race, because this is America. It's also about a view of what America is. It's about those who don't think women should have the right to choose. It's about those who don't think health care is a right, or nutrition or decent housing is a right. Then there's fundamental differences about what America means that way. And I think that's part of the battle going on here. And it's always involved with race. And it's even more so now because you're right, because America is changing. And by the year 2050, they say, and the Census Bureau reports, that white America will be everybody's going to be a minority, and white America may be the largest minority, but it's still going to be a minority of like 44% or whatever it's going to be then. I don't remember. But so it is wrapped around race, but it's also wrapped around some other deeper things that I think that we don't want to let go of, that people don't want to let go of in America. And it's the battleground between a progressive America and America that wants to hold on to its America. And that's a real big divide.
And Mark, oftentimes people get, you and I both will fight to our death for people to be able to say what they want to say. It's one of the great things about our nation.
Conservative, liberal, revolutionary,
and
whatever
when we,
you are.
And when we see that right really altered around the world, it breaks my heart. But I will tell you, it's frightening sometimes. The pastor that she was speaking of, who said he prays daily for the death of his president, one of his church members showed up at the president's speech in Arizona with a semi-automatic rifle around his shoulder. Mm. Now, he had a permit to carry it, but he was carrying it openly, and he was sending a message. When the press talked to him about what his pastor said, he said, "I agree. I believe this president should die." And of course, that got him an interview with the Secret Service.
Well,
but
it should, you know.
But it's a tough time.
Let's go to one of our callers who's calling in from Frederick, Maryland at 410-319-8888. Pardon me, and Mary, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. The reason I'm calling is I want to express I'm a white female. I did not vote for Barack Obama. I'm an independent. Mm-hmm. But I am absolutely infuriated that they did not allow these children to watch his speech. I think it's totally disrespectful to the president. It undermines it. I'm flabbergasted because when I was in school, I'm 31 years old. I remember writing a letter when Reagan had his Just Say No program to drugs to President Reagan. I was too young to even care about politics.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the biggest kick out of the letter back, and I'm disgusted. I embrace Barack Obama as my president now. I support him 100%, even if I don't agree with everything that he says. And I think it's disgusting that a few people could ruin it for the majority, and I see this in other areas other than this. And what it boils down to is just hate and fear. It's disgusting. You don't have to agree with anything that the president says, but don't disrespect him and don't hate on him. Let the kids have the option to basically see what it's about, the political system, and, you know, let them make their own choice.
Mary, I deeply appreciate your call, because I think that one of the things that the debate that makes America strong is a real debate between liberal, progressive, and conservative America about who we are as a people. And I think crazies are hijacking the Republican Party And real conservatives who come from the Barry Goldwater era and others and Teddy Roosevelt are trying to gain their party back and for a real dialogue about America. And I think that I deeply appreciate what you're saying. I think you're absolutely correct. I'm glad your voice came to the air, and I appreciate your adding a level of depth to this program. Thank you so much.
And Mark, in addition to that, I have to tell you, it really made my heart sore when we were in that eighth grade class. And I can remember being in seventh grade and the teacher asked me what I wanted to be when I grow up. And I said, I either want to be president of the United States or pope. And we weren't Catholic.
You weren't Catholic, though. You're the first Baptist pope.
That's right. But boy, he could dress and he had a lot of stuff going on. But Mark, when the teacher in the eighth grade class asked, she said, well, the president talked about being a teacher and a police officer. What would you all like to be? Who in the classroom would like to someday be president of the United States? And Mark, with the exception of maybe two or three in that class, all those children raised their hands. And as the young lady who just said, it's less about Barack Obama than that office and him being president in deference to that office. And Mark, that classroom, which was 100% African American.
Today's classroom
right. That we were in, right. That particular class was 100% African American. Those children see hope and a chance when they see that president and he speaks to them.
You can see that. It was just coming through so.
It was so real
powerful.
In those rooms.
On the way back to our listeners on the phone, another Facebook. Meredith Pyle writes in, we as a people and as a country need to launch a nonpartisan war using truth and reason against Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, and whatever political machinery that is behind this craziness. They are eroding the moral and rational fabric of our culture, and we have to mobilize against them. Counting on truth and rational thinking to overcome their attacks isn't cutting it. We need to mobilize every single time something like this happens. All citizens, not just parents, need to write to their school systems, their delegates, and representatives to tell them that this reaction to our president addressing school children is unacceptable and that we, a civilized democratic nation, will not stand for bigotry and McCarthyism, trumping simple respect for our elected leader. Hold those schools and school systems accountable, she writes in on our Facebook page.
That was excellent, with the exception of the McCarthyism thing. I don't know if she needed to throw that in there, but I'm joking.
410-319-8888. Your thoughts on all of this? Let's see who has been really holding on here like a long time. Marie, you've been holding on forever. You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
This episode, or whatever you want to call it, reminds me when the person by the name of Doug Wilder from Virginia was running for governor. The hysteria was out of sight. It went all the way to California. I don't think I ever heard of other governors people running for governors from other states were heard throughout the United States. But his name definitely was a highlight. And then a caller, either on your program or somebody else, called a man. He said that as a child, and he's a white male, he was raised by his father, and his father told him, don't listen to any black man. So when you have this type of feeling going around, I'm not surprised that this happened at all. Whether I have any hope at this time, I don't know. But maybe you all do, and I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. That's your home state.
That is, and I had the honor of working not only on the campaign of Doug Wilder, and I say honor because he made history, the first elected black governor in the history of this country. And I was there when he was sworn in at the state capitol. Since Reconstruction. And when he raised his hand, I was never prouder to be an American. Never prouder to be a Virginian than that day when he broke that glass ceiling. And I went to work for him shortly after that and then came to D.C. He helped me get into grad school at Howard University. He's incredible.
Oh, so when you went to Divinity School?
That's when I went to Divinity School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And doesn't hurt to know a governor.
It doesn't hurt, does it? And that's the rest of the story.
That's the rest of the story. That's right.
410-319-8888. Jump on the Facebook and let your thoughts be known there. You can write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. Ron wrote in saying, on email. Too many ways to get in touch these days. All this new cyberspace stuff gets me confused. I find no need to look for hidden motivations for the opposition to President Obama's school speech. Take it at face value. Republican parents do not want their children to hear what President Obama had to say. The inescapable conclusion is ignorance and stupidity are core Republican values. It's really just that simple. But on the other hand, I think, you know, you saw a lot of Republican leadership, including Laura Bush, come out and say, this is absurd. He's the President of the United States. We should honor and listen to what he has to say to our students, or as our independent caller from Frederick said, Mary, who identified as did not vote for Obama, and as a young white woman in Frederick County, she was also appalled. I mean, Republicans are not crazy. Democrats are not necessarily crazy. There is a body of craziness that is viscerally taking hold of the conversation in this country. They got Van Jones fired. I was upset that President Obama didn't stand up for Van Jones.
Me too.
The thing is that they own major broadcast systems, and they own major ways of getting communication, and they can raise the roof and create an army of opposition because of the media that they control.
Marco, one of my high school classmates and I reconnected on Facebook. She had a letter to the editor published in North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina, in the Star News newspaper. She was driving last Saturday in Wilmington and said that
North Carolina?
So it's Wilmington, North Carolina.
Well, not Delaware, right?
Not Delaware, that's right. And someone pulled up beside her in her car and was livid that she had a Barack Obama bumper sticker on her car. And told her, get that sticker off your car. And she said the more she sat there, the more enraged she became. When did it become a bad thing to have a political discourse and disagree with someone, but then to turn that into harassing people? And that's not what the Republican Party stands for. And that's certainly not what the Democratic Party stands for. And a lot of independent, as the callers have said, this is about an opportunity to have dialogue. And it could get lost very easily. It could get lost very easily in these passionate emotional feelings that people have about this president.
410-319-8888. Anthony McCarthy's in the studio with me here today. Our co-host, the first show of the week, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Linda. You're on the air in Catonsville.
Hi there.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Good evening.
All right. And God bless to all of you there. But, you know, I just wanted to call and really say how very saddened I am to even know that there is such ignorance in this land, especially in these days and times. God says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And for a president, the president with everything that he is dealing with and have to deal with and with everything that's going on in this world, that man took the time out to speak words of encouragement to all of our children. And how anybody would object to the president speaking words of encouragement to encourage, you know, children, you know, to go after the education available to them. I'm telling you, it's really very ignorant. It's nothing but one word to put to describe, and that's ignorance. Because I'm telling you, our children are dying younger and younger. And some of those same children may have even been thinking about dropping out, maybe to get a job to help, you know, with the family matters, and that word of encouragement could have, you know, really gave them some hope. But, you know, I just pray to God that people will open their eyes, I mean, and truly encourage our children and respect our president. I don't care what color his skin is. He's there to do a job.
Linda, thank you so much for your call. I'm glad you joined us. We're going to wrap this up and come back right after this break. And Ida and Dr. Jawad and others who are holding on, we're going to come to your thoughts when we come back from this break. We'll have another 10 or 15 minutes or so together before we have to hear about issues facing our Baltimore City Public Schools, which we'll do in just a little bit. We'll come right back with Anthony McCarthy. Reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Hospital for Children, offering primary, specialty, and critical care for all children, from the smallest babies to the biggest teenagers. For more information or to learn about their specialty outpatient locations throughout the state, call 1-800-492-5538. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, first live show of the week, which means Anthony McCarthy is in the house, host of the Anthony McCarthy Show every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. right here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9 FM. We're talking about President Barack Obama's speech to students of this country and the controversy that ensued because of that. But before we get back to that conversation, you might be picking up your students and your kids right now. Let's get you home safe and turn this over to WEAA Traffic. We'll be right back.
Support for WEAA is provided by Therogesic, pain reliever, arthritis, back, and muscle soreness.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner here with Anthony McCarthy. We're getting your thoughts on the air here about the president's speech and why there was so much hard reaction to it from some sectors in our society. On our Facebook page, Mark Steiner Facebook page, Harry Repstock wrote in, "It seems all discourse, especially online and yes, both sides, resort to name-calling in order to prove their point by attempting to battle the other side. Yes, the children should be allowed to hear the president's speech, but what message will the parents ultimately give the children when they ask the questions? Will it be stay in school to be better, to better your mind and ultimately your way of life because education breaks down walls? Or will it be divided party rhetoric being thrown around now by their parents?"
Very good point here.
Good point. No, it is. I mean, one of the things I have learned all my 16 and a half years on the air, I came in pretty strident about my ideas at one point, and it's been tempered by the reality that no one ideology, no one group, no one anything has the hold on the truth. The truth resides in all the corners of our existence. You got to listen to it to hear it, whether it's from a conservative mouth or a communist mouth or a Catholic mouth or a Jewish mouth or an atheist, whatever it is. Truth comes in many forms. You got to remember that, I think.
You got to write a book, Mark Steiner. That's what you got to do. You have to write a book. I couldn't have said that better if I tried.
Mm. Our listeners got a lot of things to say. Let's see what they have to say. 410-319-8888. Jason, you're on the air.
Mark, Jason, Tamal, how you doing?
Good, Jason. Welcome.
Good. Listen, I think you guys have a great show going tonight. I do think the focus of these hypocrites by labeling them as Republicans may be a little bit off base, because this is hatred, and hatred is apolitical.
I agree.
I think a couple of weeks ago when the healthcare town hall started ramping up and you saw people showing up to these town hall riots, I mean, red-faced and bubbling over with anger in opposition to people getting medical care, That's not about opposing people seeing a doctor. That's about hating our president. And most of those people may not side with the Republican ideology or platform. A lot of them call themselves libertarians and so forth. But to put one party's label on that, I think, is missing the issue. These people have hatred in their heart, and I don't know that you can assign them to one side of the aisle. I think it's bigger than that.
Jason, thanks so much for your call. I don't think that that's incorrect at all. I think that people have closed their minds and hearts to other people's ideas, and that's not a good idea. It doesn't mean you don't fight for what you believe in, but you don't close out the other side. And I think that that that's what's happening very loud with the Glenn Becks of the world at the moment, who have their airwaves to kind of stimulate their audience. And, you know, the audiences really aren't that large, comparatively speaking. But they get them...
They get them riled up, and they're very vocal. And there's a certain amount of power in that. And, you know, the part that we don't like to connect to that, Mark, is the more there is this heat generated, the more advertisers tend to think, that's the show I need to support. Those are the shows that I need to put my dollars behind. But as we've seen with Glenn Beck and others, there can be a backlash to that as well. You can go too far.
I've only got a couple more callers in here, Anthony, but I'm going to read this thing about our school systems and just let you know what your school system was up to. And you should let your school system know what you think about this. Not just leave it to the crazies to kind of dampen down the political discussion of America. And Arundel County left the decision up to individual schools with opt-out provisions. Washington County decided not to air it. Copies will be available in the library. Allegheny County teachers may show it if it matches their curriculum. The same with Frederick County. Harvard, we've already talked about.
What does that they didn't mean air this. Exactly, I wonder?
It means, well, all anyway, these things sorry, mean the same thing to me. In Calvert County, it's available during lunch if students want to see it. Montgomery left it up to principals, and Howard County had an opt-out provision and left it up to individual schools. What this means is that people, the school systems bent under pressure. They all bent under the pressure and did not stand up as educators to say the president's going to address the students and we're going to listen to it and use it for a discussion.
And we'll have a discussion right. About what he has said to
you know. You're not opting children. Out of the classroom. It's a discussion. Stay in here and discuss it with the rest of the students.
And that's why I found even, you know, and Mr. Plunkett, God bless him, he was willing to come on and share the perspective of his school district. But I was a little perplexed by this idea that, oh, this is important. It's a great educational tool, but we're going to allow students to opt out.
Do we have time for we do this? 410-319-8888. Very quick thought, Ida, what's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi, Ida.
I just want to say, to get to the point, this is blatant racism. I cannot believe that Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, all the Democrats haven't spoken out about this. My mama used to say, if you lay down and take anything, then that's what you get. I don't mean no harm. Every president in America has spoken to the kids. There's never been an issue about it. An eyebrow raised about it. What is going on? You got a guy in Arizona supposed to be a pastor that's praying for Obama's death.
I know, it's madness.
Shouldn't he be under treason, terrorism, IRS, something to throw him in jail? Tell me.
Well, you know, people have in America a right to say what they want to say.
And we have a right to respond.
We have a right to respond mm-hmm. to it. I think it's pretty vile when you have a pastor in a church praying for someone's death. I mean, that's just, it's an obscenity.
Mm.
Folks, I really do appreciate everybody calling in here today. And I do appreciate Anthony McCarthy being in the studio with
great
me.
Great to be with you, Mark.
In a minute, we're going to take a very short break. And we're going to come back with Dr. Robert Balfons, who's going to talk about some really interesting things with dropouts in our school system and where our school system's going. He's research scientist at the Center for Social Organization at Hopkins and associate director of the Talent Development Middle and High School Project. Really interesting thinker. He's going to be with us to talk about education. So don't go away. And the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by Johns Hopkins Medicine for the 19th consecutive year. The Johns Hopkins Hospital is ranked number one by U.S. News & World Report in their annual Best Hospital Survey. Find out more about the nation's top hospital at hopkinsmedicine.org. We'll be right back. Anthony, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Mark.
Always a pleasure. Thank you all for calling in and writing in and making this show what it is. And it's good to have Christina Arison back in working with us for a little while as well. We'll be right back. Don't go away.